Father, we pray for guidance in the matters at hand and ask that you would clearly show us how to conduct our work with a spirit of joy and enthusiasm. Give us the desire to find ways to excel in our work, help us to work together, and encourage each other to excellence. We ask this in your name. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
No public comment. I didn't even have to ask. We have no speakers intending to make public comment to the board, so we can move to the next agenda item. And Dr. Kurtzfeld, the president's report.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I have a report before you first, and I think we can all be SCF proud of our Brain Bowl team who went to the national championship this past weekend. We did not win, but one of our individual players is the number one top scoring player in the nation.
Wow.
Ursula Kushner has a very incredible breadth of knowledge. I've never seen anybody who can answer math questions, science questions, current events questions, but she's got it all in this tiny little frame. So it was remarkable to watch. I was very pleased to be able to do that. The other thing I'd like to do is read a comment for you to get it in the record as it relates to embracing our differences. And this is SCF's statement to the public record regarding our agreement with embracing our differences. It appears that the media will not report this account as it is neither salacious nor apt to grab public attention. Allow me to start first by thanking the SCF District Board of Trustees for your support for this decision to withdraw as an exhibition site for Embracing Our Differences. SCF signed an agreement with EOD in September of 2022 that included our ability to choose not to display certain artwork on our campus and that a discussion regarding our concerns would be had with EOD. We received the art selections from EOD in January and identified three that could be incendiary given the at times violent division in our country around these particular topics. Already this year, the EOD exhibit in Sarasota has been vandalized. We received a call from EOD on February 1st excoriating us for hosting the governor on our campus, after which we were informed that EOD was taking a, quote, hard line, end of quote, and would not even have a discussion with us about our differences. Ironic that an organization named Embracing Our Differences would not even discuss our differences. EOD breached our contract and, you can use the word censored, as defined by examine officially and suppress the unacceptable parts of our agreement. As we were told, it was all or nothing. We opted to exercise our right to withdraw. Despite agreeing to issue a joint press conference when we notified EOD of our decision, EOD again defaulted on an agreement and chose to capitalize on our differences by going to the media, securing a headline that was a lie. We never had the chance to discuss our differences with EOD, yet they chose to attribute a reason of their own to describe our withdrawal. In their press conference, EOD attempted to tie the governor's politics to our decision. Let me clearly state that the only pressure we received regarding our decision to withdraw as an exhibition site from EOD was from EOD themselves, by way of their all-or-nothing position that was not in keeping with our agreement. This was simply a contract dispute where our differences were not embraced, but instead exploited for political and or monetary gain. Again, I'd like to acknowledge and thank the SCF trustees for your support and for always keeping the best interest and safety of our entire college community in the forefront when making decisions. The right decisions aren't always the most popular. Thank you, Mr. Chair. That's my report.
Thank you. We're going to move on to Meet the Mission, and Dr. Fritz is going to walk us through early college and career and technical education programs.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Appreciate the opportunity. So Dr. P asked me to give a presentation on part of our core business. It made a lot of sense to, and we're in agreement that talking about early college and workforce and career and technical education programs make a lot of sense. These are words that we hear in the ether quite often. thought it'd be really helpful for the board to have an understanding of how our college defines early college programs and workforce and career technical education programs. Before I jump into the early college programs, I just want to acknowledge the early college team. Most of them are here. Heather Shehorn, Melanie Kiefer, and Raul Lorenzo. We're missing Jessica Torsell, who's also with us, and Carrie, who helps to support dual enrollment as well. So that's the brains behind the operation. I just get to give the presentation. So for early college programs, we have quite a variety of them. They include our dual enrollment, which we talk quite a lot about, an early admissions program, accelerated dual enrollment, which we piloted in Venice for the first time and now is available on all of our campuses. Our college reach out program, or PROP, as you'll hear it referred to, our summer bridge program. I'd also like to include in here our collegiate schools, because sometimes we forget that our collegiate charter high schools, grades 6 through 12 here in Bradenton and grades 9 through 12 in Venice, are early college programs as well. And in fact, our 11th and 12th graders are fully dual enrolled in the college, and nearly 100% of them graduate on the same day with both their high school diploma, as you know, and their AA degree. And so we're really proud of those early college programs as well. So talk first about dual enrollment. And I've got a chart at the end that sort of helps you understand the credit accumulation that's possible here and what an advantage these programs are for students. So dual enrollment allows qualified students to enroll in approved college courses that will satisfy high school and college requirements, and many of these students start with dual enrollment in their 11th grade or junior year of high school. In addition to dual enrollment, we have early admission. This allows qualified seniors, 12th graders, to be fully dual enrolled in approved college courses during the first and second semester of their senior year. So they're early admitted, full-time college students, and we work very hard to get them to continue with us and be degree-seeking students, right, Rachel? And finally, our accelerated dual enrollment program. This is an opportunity for 11th graders to start full-time with the college, and these students, like our collegiate high school students, also have an opportunity to complete an AA degree while completing their high school requirements as fully enrolled in the college. So what does that look like? In dual enrollment, in both the fall and spring semesters, and now, thanks to new legislation, summer term as well, students can take up to 11 credits in the fall and spring, up to 6 credits in the summer. So they can accumulate quite a number of college credits toward their AA degree while they're going through dual enrollment. That would be true if they started 11th and 12th grade. They can get pretty close, but not quite fully completed their degree program. Early admission, senior year only again, 2-semester program. They can take 12 up to 15 credits. They're encouraged to take the 15 credits so they can get half of their degree done during their senior year and complete the second half with us once they completed their high school program. And finally, accelerated dual enrollment, again, 12 to 15 credits, encouragement for 15 credits, and they can, between their junior and senior year, take an additional 6 credits so that they can work their way towards completion of their degree as well. Next, I'll talk about our PROP program, our College Reach Out program. This has been funded for many years by a grant from Florida Department of Education, also receives additional financial support from our foundation, thank you, Cassandra, and from United Way Suncoast. It's been on our campus for over 25 years. Raul shared with me earlier, our partner schools currently are Heron Creek, Booker, and Lee Middle Schools, in addition to Sarasota, Booker, Southeast, Bayshore, and Palmetto High Schools. And this is a consortium or a collaboration between St. Petersburg College, Hillsborough Community College, USF, and the State College of Florida. So we work with 6th to 12th graders, raising awareness about college, encourage degree completion, and it's broken into 2 parts. It has a during the school year program, a collection of activities, where our PROP team works with site coordinators that are paid coordinators on site at each of our partner institutions to work on the skills you see outlined there. So things like cultural activities, opportunities to develop leadership skills, study strategies, career development activities, etc. And for motivated PROP students who during the school year are selected by their teams to join the summer program, they're able to spend 1 week on the USF campus in a residential program, continuing to work on those activities, career exploration, and other opportunities, and also begin to acclimate to what college life is like on the campus to give them that orientation. Often the barrier to college is just crossing that line, right? Just coming across the street, getting that experience, and so this program helps with that. Our Summer Bridge program is another early college program. Many of our PROP completers will continue with us in our Summer Bridge program. We currently have the capacity to serve 10 to 15 graduating high school seniors and those students have the opportunity to come to our campus, earn 3 to 6 college credits. Every student takes our student life skills course, our SLS course, and then depending on their PERT scores, they'll either take a reading course or a psychology course. Obviously, the benefits are improved summer melt, keep students from being admitted but not starting with us. That idea of summer melt improves retention, certainly builds their confidence as they begin to understand how to navigate college and what the college experience is like for them. We now have our TRIO student support and services program that's a natural fit for these students, and they establish a strong academic foundation. In fact, nearly 100% of the students that go through the Summer Bridge program become matriculated degree-seeking students at the State College of Florida, so highly successful. In addition to early college programs, Heather is the Assistant Dean over Strategic Academic Initiatives, and so this is a early college-like program that I'd like to share with you. That we started this year as a collaboration between IMG Academy and the State College of Florida. Their IMG post-grad program we have served nearly 80 students in the 22-23 academic year. These are IMG students who are coming to our college campus to take college coursework as postgraduate students, meaning they have completed their high school education at IMG. They want to stay at IMG Academy and continue to improve their athletic skills with the hopes of being recruited by yet a better university, but yet they don't want to delay their time to degree. And so under NCAA regulations, they're allowed to take up to 6 credits per semester without affecting their eligibility once they get recruited into their Power 5 conference university for whatever sport they're playing. And so we have over 80 students who are taking an average of 6 credits, just slightly more than 6 credits per semester. And the beauty of this pilot program is that the majority of students are out-of-state students, and so the tuition rate for out-of-state students is 3 times what it is for our in-state students. So this would be the equivalent of having 240 in-state students take 6 credits a semester. So it's been a really great program. We've received great feedback from IMG. In fact, the team and I have a meeting scheduled with them in a couple of weeks to meet with their new head of school and their new academic leadership team to ensure that we're delivering on our promises and that the program's working well for them. But they're actually able to come to our campus. IMG brings them in, and they're actually having an on-campus college experience, which is great. So it's been another really successful strategic initiative for us that kind of falls into that early college initiative. I'm going to shift focus now and talk about workforce education and career and technical education programs. You'll pretty regularly hear a reference to workforce education, and for us, that takes 2 forms. We have a non-credit aspect of workforce training and workforce education that lives in our lifelong learning and workforce development division. Ron Surplus is currently the interim dean over that division. Dr. P and I talked about giving a presentation in the future on the work of that division, and in addition to that, much of the academic content that's delivered by the 26 West Center is also categorized under that non-credit experience. And so we'll give that presentation in the future. Today we're going to focus on the college credit bearing aspect of workforce training and career and technical education. And for our institution, we define that as AS degrees or associate in science degrees, college credit certificates, which are both freestanding certificates that students can come and pursue, but are also embedded certificates in our degree programs. And we can't forget about our baccalaureate degrees. The 4-year baccalaureate degrees that the state and community colleges offer here in Florida have to have a workforce orientation to them. So you won't see a student pursuing a baccalaureate degree in philosophy, not that there's anything wrong with doing that. That just prepares you most typically for graduate school. And that's not what we do. We focus on workforce training and career orientation. In addition to this, we have to remember that nearly 70% of our students are in our AA transfer program. So roughly 30% of the students at State College of Florida are in these workforce education and career technical programs across both AS and baccalaureate. So we have 31 AS degrees, or workforce degrees. I'm not going to run through all of them, but I'll highlight a few of them that are relatively new for us. Business analytics was recently launched out of our business department. Hospitality and tourism management also launched out of our business department. And just started this fall, our music production program, which is housed in our 26 West Center. So we're continuing to add to those to be nimble, flexible, and responsive to the demands of workforce and career opportunities. In addition to the 31 degrees, we also have 36 college credit certificate programs. Again, These can be standalone certificates that somebody with a degree might want to come and just get those skills, perhaps in graphic design or web design, or they're certificates that are embedded in the degree programs. You hear people talking about stackable credentials quite often. So we're helping students get as many credentials as they can while they're here with us. In addition to that, in many of the courses that are both in our certificates and our AS degree programs, we have industry certifications. Example of that would be QuickBooks certification being embedded in our accounting certificate or in our accounting degree. And finally, we have 6 workforce-oriented baccalaureate degrees. We have Bachelor of Applied Science in Health Services Administration, HSA, Public Safety and Emergency Management, Supervision and Management, and then our BS degrees are Early Childhood Education, Nursing, and our 2 newest BS degrees in Elementary Education and Exceptional Student Education. You see how each of those programs prepare individuals who complete those degrees for careers as opposed to future education. That's it. Happy to take any questions that you have about early college programs or workforce education. Silence is consent. Thank you very much.
Thank you. All right, so we're going to move on to the approval for non-financial consent agenda items. Are there any items that need to be pulled? No? Can I have a motion?
I'll move approval of non-financial consent agenda.
Second.
So Rod approved, Tracy second. Any discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Those opposed? That motion carries. We'll move on to the approval of financial consent agenda items. Are there any that need to be pulled? If not, I'll entertain a motion.
So moved.
Second.
Mark and is first, Rod is second. And any discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Those opposed? The motion carries. As normal, our project list is on page 44, and I think we're moving right into strategic plan update from Dr. Hale.
Thank you very much. So we began our strategic plan in January of 2021, so just when we were kind of coming out of the initial impacts of the pandemic, and really kind of a pleasure putting this together to be able to see all the things we've been able to do and all the initiatives. It's not an exhaustive list of everything we've done, but how the impact has been made just in that short period of time in kind of a difficult and challenging environment. So one of the first things that was in our plan was to be the region's first choice for higher education and cultural enrichment. And currently, State College of Florida within our region is providing almost 45% of the degrees awarded. So we're clearly the first choice in the region. And there's some things that we're doing to continue to expand this and be able to reach even more students. And some of that is through trying to capture a greater percentage of incoming high school students from our campuses in a time when some of them aren't traveling away to go to school and the other things that have changed in education. And enhancing our student support services for those students in different ways that will also be presented here. So here's a couple of the high schools that we've targeted through various initiatives and as part of other goals. And you can see these are percentages of the high school graduating class that have chosen to come to us. And so in a very short time, we've made some pretty significant gains with a lot of these schools. Another thing we'd like to do is to become the region's premier employer. And one of the goals, and this was recently on one of our goal updates, but one of the goals was to shorten the time to filling some of those positions and the challenges that's created, and actually have an updated number here that's an even better number. So we continue to decrease the time it's taking us to fill positions, getting very, very good at doing this filled, and having changes to what we're doing that are also able to attract people. And we talked about some of those changes to our calendar that we're able to attract additional candidates. This one's particularly impressive to me. Be the Region's impact, high-impact choice for donors. On the left is the scholarship dollars that the foundation took in thousands that they're able to bring out to students, and this is the number of students impacted by those scholarships over that same time period. So that also continues to increase. Our quality set the standard for teaching and learning excellence. One of the biggest things over the pandemic was the way students interacted with school. Initially, we had to go, you know, fully remote, and that doesn't always work for all students. So our faculty and our staff were able to create some new learning modalities for online learners who want to learn face-to-face. So they'll have an online course, but there's an instructor on during a certain time, face-to-face. And those modalities have had a success rate of about 76%, which was comparable to what we saw for all classes during that baseline year. So very comparable to what we're already doing in terms of success. Moreover, from that baseline year, all classes have also increased in success rate. So even though we've been presented with many challenges, we've been able to expand different types of student supports and become even more successful.
What does success mean?
In terms of the number of students in all courses that are earning an A, B, or C grade as opposed to D and F or withdrawing from the course. Okay. Enrich the community's quality of life through workforce training, continuing education, visual performing arts, athletics. This particular example shows our lifelong learning and workforce development, the number of students we've been able to reach. This sometimes moves counter to the economy. We've talked about that when we look at enrollment, how when unemployment is very, very low, sometimes we don't get as many credit students enrolling. But during those times when employment is very, very low, there's more opportunities for SCF to provide workforce training to employers and also to have students engaged in lifelong learning activities. They have better incomes and things, and they have the funds to do those things. So it's an example of that continuing data. Using quality data analytics to improve institutional performance and planning. We've actually included 1 year kind of out beyond the beginning here because that was the first year that we used our particular ticketing system for IR for people to be able to make requests for data directly. And in that year, we had 86 requests and we had 3 dashboards that we built. Following year, there were 144 requests and we were then maintaining. So we had the original 3 dashboards and we were adding more on and we were maintaining 46 dashboards. Present day, we had 178 requests during 2022, and by 2022, we were maintaining 177 dashboards. I would anticipate that in the years to come, the number of new requests should continue to taper off. There will always be some, but as we get the data out into the hands of more of the users, where it's in an accessible place where they can look up those reports that they need at a moment's glance, then those numbers will become even better. Develop and deliver programs and services to a changing economic, social, educational environment. During the course of the pandemic, this was incredibly important. And just prior to the pandemic, we were able to begin offering online services for tutoring and academic success. So we had online tutoring services that came online right before the pandemic. Could not have been more timely to have developed that. And you can see here that during the kind of height of things, we had a lot more online tutoring sessions. As we were able to develop those live courses, and as we were able to move more courses back to face-to-face, the demand for the online tutoring decreased a little bit. But the online, the face-to-face came back up, and the total demand is decreased as students get the learning modalities that they're looking for. So as we get things like a face-to-face course that's online, we have less call for actually need for tutoring, so they have that face-to-face. It just kind of shows the responsiveness, how that department was able to respond, and even now how they respond to the balance of where they're going. Here's another one that's just strikingly impressive. Parrish Community High School is newly built, and Parrish began to take students in, and we began to have students in dual enrollment in that high school in different, all of those early college programs that were listed earlier in 2020. And we continue to see a huge increase in students from those schools. A lot of hard work on the part of that team to get out there. This also demonstrates that that Parrish community has that need for the services that we offer, for the higher education things we offer, and that the students there who only really have the opportunity to either drive here, drive to Lakewood Ranch, or to take courses online would benefit probably from being able to have face-to-face and different types of interactions available in Cambridge. Dr. Fritsch already mentioned a number of these, but we've expanded the two-year and four-year degrees, elementary and exceptional student education, and then the associate's degrees that he already spoke to. And then these particular certificates in computer science are among those that are those nested credentials. Students who take an associate's in science major in computer sciences can take these degrees completely within the plan of their degree without having to take additional coursework. So the faculty are getting really excited on how to put those packages together so students can gain one credential as they're moving to their other one. Diversification, we're expanding opportunities for minority, international, and lifelong learner populations. As already referenced, our TRIO Student Services Support Grant, it's a grant that targets students that are either first generation, low income, or have disabilities. It specifically targets those students. So far in that grant, and the main function of that grant is to increase the retention of those students and move them toward graduation. Hold on to them, give them the support they need to persist here at SEA. 102 out of 153 participants have been minority students within that grant. And then we also saw last year during the goals session that 96.6 of these students persisted from fall to spring. And that's well above the overall average at SCF, which hovers around 75%, and the national first time in college average. And I also want to point out that national average, when we say the national average is 75% persistence in our overall, the national average is first time in college students. That's the easy one to persist. Those are the students that don't have adult responsibilities, aren't holding full-time jobs. SCF's number is also right at about 75%, but for everyone. So, big accomplishment, just keeping it there, and the fact that these students have come in and persisted at a much higher rate, although they face different challenges, is very impressive. Diversification. The college is financially resilient to economic and political changes. We spoke to this a little bit earlier, that in a different economy, we have different opportunities. This is the increase in lifelong learner students in those types of non-credit bearing classes as time has gone on. So while the employment has been hot and the other opportunities to maybe bring more adults into full-time degree programs isn't existing in the way it would in a different economy, these opportunities exist and we've been pursuing them vigorously. And then increased student experiential learning opportunities. And this one's particularly exciting. It also, these are not necessarily embedded credentials, but they're opportunities that our students have. Our Coding Academy has had over the past year 24 degree-seeking students receive credentials from the Coding Academy. And those are going to be certifications in programming in different areas. And in IT, those are things that are huge for a student's resume. So the ability for those students to get those things and have that hands-on coding experience while they're here is a pretty big deal. We recently have also had the opportunity to get a Florida Workforce Recovery Plan grant related to the hurricane. That will provide $210,000 in new scholarships for students pursuing those types of credentials. So we'll be able to even further expand those opportunities. At the same time, our Entrepreneurship Academy provides opportunities to degree-seeking and workforce students to engage in entrepreneurship training and training to establish startups and small businesses. That same workforce recovery plan grant provides $1 million to new CDL training. A lot of those CDL operators want to become owner operators or run their own business with their CDL. They will have the opportunity through the Entrepreneurship Academy and in some cases through the credit side of our institution to be able to learn how to run their small business.
Quick question on that.
Yes.
The 24 degree-seeking students for the Coding Academy, is that how many that could be handled? Is that how many that were interested? And or is that capped by the availability of grant money, too? How did we end up with 24, and how much will that 210 help?
The 210 will provide for scholarships for 70 or more. Those 24 weren't necessarily scholarship students. Those were students where the opportunity existed here. They're degree-seeking students who also saw that opportunity and took hold of it. So that is not capped. I'm not sure. I don't think we're anywhere near what the capacity of that could be.
Okay.
No. Okay. Thank you. Tons of capacity. also associates with other grant programs, so sometimes the student will pay a portion of the total for some of the higher cost trainings. Any other questions?
Well, I've got a question. Could you go back to, like, I think your second slide having to do with the amount of high school graduates you were capturing?
Yes.
Next time, put it last slide. We want to go back.
Got it. Is that the question?
What? So what do you attribute that to? I mean, those are pretty big increases.
I think, and Brittany might want to handle that more directly, but.
Targeted enrollment, strategic enrollment opportunities. So some of the communications I spoke about last time when I presented, it is a constant check-in to say, at this point, you've had 30 applications. At this point, we now have had 20 go through orientation. So here's where we're at. So it's constant communication with those schools. Our enrollment team watches this dashboard to see of our sophomores, that was a hike in 300 students. So we're already starting to continue that enrollment and that recruitment further back, hence the middle school type of trend too. So we want to get in front of them sooner so it's not a foreign concept.
Right.
Crop, same thing. But that's really what it is really educating our staff on the numbers and then educating our school counselors and our partners in the schools on where are your FBS students at. Because a lot of times they don't know. I don't know if, you know, the 10 students that said they needed a transcript actually applied. Well, we'll tell you. And here's where you're at. So it just helps us to better partner with them, to capture them, and then they get an end of year report. Congratulations, you've had 20% of your graduates be admitted and enrolled at FBF. We're so proud. Let's celebrate together.
Great, very impressive.
Question. Brittany, do you run into any competition out there from other colleges on campus?
I think there's always communication to get in front of the students that could be considered competition, but really we work with them to have them see themselves here as their right fit.
But when you go out there, where the basically the big D college in Venice, Palmetto, Manatee is trying to get the kids.
Yes. Yep. And another thing too is our school counselors are seeing opportunities with us. We've had a couple schools say, would you mind putting a banner up so it's more prominent and all of our recruiting materials can be right there? You bet, I'll buy that banner, right? Can we have a different signage so when they come into our school counseling office, all of your materials and your business cards are right there? You bet. So having that open communication allows them to see opportunities to better partner with us as well.
Now, when you go into a high school, do you students sign up to come see you, or you speak in the auditorium to a bunch of them? I mean, how do you, what's the interface?
It is a menu of options. So early on in the summer, as classes begin or the high schools open, we have an entire menu of opportunities. We try to get in there as often as possible in different modalities. So I want to talk to your senior class early on to get them geared up for applications. We want to do FAFSA workshops to come in and talk financial aid. We want to speak to all of your juniors to get them ready for financial aid and next steps as a senior. So we will go to individual classrooms. We will do full classes, and then we'll even do things like parents' night. What is the parent-teacher conferences? Those types of things too. So we're right there. It's easy access for parents and families to meet with us and have that conversation together.
You reach any, is there any resistance that you meet out there in the schools?
Not a lot. What we do also is a midterm check-in to say, it looks like you've had some questions come in about X, Y, or Z. Can we schedule a time to meet with your juniors and seniors again? And it may be just a drop-in. So they'll just pop in and spend time with us. The resistance, they just want to be able to schedule it out and make sure that it's not overwhelming of too many institutions coming in. But so, really, we don't get a no.
So the principals are pretty much on our side to get mm-hmm. in.
And really, for us, it takes the load off of their staff because we're the content area experts and we can help guide them through that process. And the team has done a phenomenal job of establishing those relationships.
Mike, I think she just answered your questions.
She did.
Those increases.
Yeah,
hard work.
That's a lot of hard work. That's great. Mm-hmm. Congratulations on that.
If I could add a couple other little pieces mm-hmm. that might actually kind of go to this. There's some pieces that come also from the early college and also other opportunities we have. Mm-hmm. We can reach students in the middle school level, like crop program, where we reach them in the middle school level, get them deciding that they want to go to college before they ever get to high school so they start making the right choices while they're in high school. And then if we can get them enrolled in courses here through those early college programs while they're in high school, get them familiar with taking courses here, coming to campus, being here with us before they ever get out of high school, it's easy for them to just kind of continue to look at them. That's a huge part of the process of getting them early, getting them focused. And as far as the high schools are concerned, having been in K-12, if you get a student focused on what they want to do in college while they're in high school, and you're in the K-12, you're no longer worried about that student graduating. They've set their sights beyond you anyway. So those people will welcome you in.
Is there any sort of data on, I see a lot of public schools, no private schools. What about Brandon Christian, St. Stephen's, ODA? Do we do outreach programs mm-hmm. to those private schools as well?
We do.
We have data on that too?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I don't know. I was just curious.
Sure.
I know it's not going to be the numbers that the public schools are.
Yeah.
Absolutely. But I was just interested because we seem to talk a lot about the public schools. Mm-hmm. I just was interested in the private schools. Being an alumni of Brandon Christian, I was just curious on that.
Yeah, we have early college programs with them, and we have recruitment with them as well.
Cool.
Yeah, actually, on that note, I noticed that there's only one public Sarasota County school on there. I was just wondering about the other ones.
Yeah, I just didn't provide the exhaustive list. We kind of went for the ones where they've been specifically targeted and recent goals and things for those in those cups.
Okay.
That
I mean, you don't have to. I'm
just
curious. The best. And what has been the most challenging goal for you as a team?
I think that would vary depending on who you ask. Whichever one you happen to be working on. I don't know if anybody else wants to hit that. I know that, you know, as far as our goal, it was a core part of what we were working on at IR, so it wasn't necessarily the most challenging. It was where a lot of our energy
through. Okay. All parts of enrollment are challenging, whether it's persistence, retention, new recruitment, targeted new recruitment. That's why you'll see a lot in our goals that we're trying to really get strategic on where we think we can make the greatest impact in our enrollment mm-hmm. initiatives. And you know, that's this. These are schools we felt that we could make the greatest leap if we really focused our attention. So they're all challenging. Hurricanes are a big challenge. Pandemics are a pretty big challenge. Unfortunately, we don't control those.
Out of these top schools, do you know what their retention has been or has been for those?
They're maintained here. I know that first-time college students in general are maintained here at between 79% and 80%. They're a little higher than.
I just didn't know if that in those schools where we get the most graduates, who is the most prepared to stay? The question. I'm curious.
I can look into that. I can address it.
What's the question? Which students are most prepared?
Well, like which high school? I'm curious if there's a data point on which high school has the most retention mm-hmm. for their students that come to SDS. Because then you would think that they would be the most prepared, and maybe you zero in on that or help others.
That's great. Mm-hmm. That's a good question.
Brittany, I know if I was a student, one of the things I would ask you is, what are you going to do to help me get into a four-year institution after I graduate?
Mm-hmm.
And what would your answer be?
Well, that's what we do. So we want, obviously, to see them through some type of degree. But we partner with other institutions to help them navigate that process. Our College and Career Success coaches do that on a regular basis. So instead of them being out on their own, having to scour through websites or find the right person to call and contact, that's what we help assist them through.
Now, it is true, I think, that when I was back here in the dark ages, if I graduated here, the universities had to take me. Mm-hmm. Now, they tried to pluck me out. But I mean, they had to take me. But they don't do that anymore, right? Florida doesn't, if you graduate from here, you can't automatically get accepted at the University of Florida, right?
If you're successfully completed with an AA, you can transfer within the state of Florida.
You can, but they don't have to take
it. Not necessarily specific to the major or the program.
Like one of the things, two things we've done with Brittany's team. One, focus on reminding them we offer 7 4-year degrees.
Yep.
So look here first. And then secondly, 4 years ago, we had an articulation agreement goal where we expanded our direct articulation pathway opportunities so that if you finish, we've already lined up a pathway for you at other institutions as well. The FUSE program, the IGNITE program at FAMU, we signed them with several other historically black colleges and universities. We've got a great relationship with Florida Gulf Coast where you have articulated pathways into that next step. So you're making the right choices here with the understanding that that's your focus in the next step. So that helps ease that transition as well.
I was wondering, I know we don't have a baccalaureate in business administration.
Supervision and management is our 4-year baccalaureate degree in business.
I just know that there's a lot of kids go into that, sometimes by default, which is where I was.
Yeah.
But that might be an avenue in which we might want to explore.
Yep. We've been focusing with Brittany on recruitment for that. This group will remember when we got that degree approved. That is the largest enrolled baccalaureate degree program in the Florida college system. One of the reasons we prioritized it. So there's potential there for sure.
Thank you.
Any questions?
Thank you, Dr. Hale. Moving right along, we're on old business. Do I have any old business? No old business. Do I have any new business? We're all quiet tonight. Jamie, I'm going to start with you with board comments.
Oh, jeez. Well.
Sorry.
I'd like to thank Dr. Nielsen, Dr. Hale, and Dr. Frisch for your presentations. Very interesting and informative. And good job.
Just that they attended the Avenue of the Futures here. It was an excellent night. Good fundraiser, well done. I urge all of you to attend the Futures. Well done to be in here, and it's nice that you've represented that.
A couple things. I went to the nursing open house out at SCF Lakewood campus, and Tammy Sawmill, our dean nurses, kind of gave me the tour there, and I felt like I was in a hospital. So good job on that. But she was walking me through training. If you had the chance sometime, that worked out for well because that was a recruitment thing they were doing. So she was there, etc. I just popped in, and so she showed me around that. Really interesting stuff they're doing, and I know that she's working with Dr. Fritsch on maybe some summer program stuff that can keep students. What did you call it? Summer melt? Somebody called it summer melt. It's a great term. And it might be able to get them out of the pipeline a little quicker, which means we could get more new nursing students through over a period of time. Anyway, I found that interesting and helpful. I also wanted to just voice my support as a trustee for Dr. Rostell's decisions on backing out of the contract with Embracing Our Differences. I don't think there was any choice there whatsoever, and I would frankly not like to see us pursue them in the future, given their attitude toward us and their loss of vision for their original goals. So I just want to have that on the record that I, for one, anyway, heartily support that decision.
Echo you on that, Rod, and just, you know, once again, we've had a very impressive presentation and data on the work that our team is doing, and I applaud all of you.
Agreed. Well prepared. Sure. Thank you all. A couple quick notes from the foundation. Cassandra and her team and the board they're ahead of budget on their fundraising for the fiscal year, which is starts October 1, and they are about $358,000 over budget. So, but I told Cassandra she can't take March off. Okay.
September.
Yeah. What's that?
September.
Yeah, September 30th. For one day. Avenues to the Future was, I did miss it this year, but I've been to many, many of them, but their goal was just shy of $54,000, and they raised just shy of $60,000 after it was all said and done. So, hats off. That's very good. Yes. More money in the kitty. And the next one is, the next event is the Evening Under the Stars on the Venice campus, which you have not been, is a fabulous night, Saturday, April 15th at 5:30. And we want to thank Dom DeMeo and Suncoast Credit Union for being one of the major sponsors. You can help be a sponsor. You can get a table. You get an individual ticket for $150. And you can sit out in the grass for how much?
$30.
$30. But you'll be ostracized by the rest of us. Okay.
So,
wear a disguise so we don't recognize you. But that is a fun, fun evening, so you all need to do that.
That's awesome. This past Friday, I had the opportunity to hit the road with Nick, our new interim athletic director. And the goal was to spend some time shaking hands, kissing babies at the elementary schools and middle schools, and he brought a load of information on SCF athletics, and it was great because we went through, I don't know how many schools we hit, but it was a bunch, but the comments were impressive, and you were saying something about, you know, part of the outreach is the middle schools, and a couple of the middle schools have even said, hey, we haven't seen SCF in a while, so that was interesting to hear a few of the, that's just front office staff saying that, so. And then there was many of them that said, oh, we can't wait to put this up. The kids need something to do for the summer, or we love SCF stuff. And so I thought to myself, man, if we could plaster SCF stuff all over the middle schools and elementary schools, what a great thing that would be. You said start them early, right? Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, you know, from my angle, I was like, hey, how fast can we get information in their hands, you know, based upon those comments? So it was really encouraging because just being out, I haven't been out like that in a long time, you know, in the trenches and shaking hands like that. So it was really cool and a pleasant experience. So wanted to update on that, that the comments were great. And anyway, so that was fun.
Awesome presentation. Thank you. Very informative. I noticed in our church bulletin, Redeemer hosted Night to Shine, and I believe the manatee came and helped sponsor it, because that was one of the best events our church has put on for the community ever, and I was so proud to see that we were a part of it. So thank you so much for taking the time, and whoever set that up, and to support that's a wonderful cause. And then I wanted to ask Dr. Probstfeld, I noticed this SCF retirees social. What is that? I don't know, it just captured my...
We have a group of retirees that get together regularly and invite me occasionally to join them because they want to stay engaged with the college. They tend to be good donors to the college, and so it's a good use of time, comfortable use of time.
Wait, I'm just curious, do you know, or could we find, who is the longest participant in the retiree social? Just curious.
There's a couple of groups. One has a person who's been here who was working with the college for over 30 years. So started it, and he's been part of that since he retired. So,
very cool.
Yeah, there's some very long-term relationships with the college. Yeah.
You all said it all. I just want to make sure that I thank everyone that puts the time into the technical and the non-degree workforce initiatives. You know, our community needs those initiatives, and we're one of the only institutions that helps locally, that helps put that kind of effort into those programs. So I want to make sure that I thank you all for what you do there.
I
can come back to you.
Well, you just prompted something. I just remembered that when I was interviewing with the governor's office for being reappointed to this position, they asked specifically how well I thought that the college was, I don't know why I never mentioned this before, how well the college was responding to the workforce needs in the two-county area. And they were very honed in on that. So it was nice to be able to say that I thought we were doing a great job. I didn't have any stats at my fingertips, but I thought that was most of our focus, really, was to make sure that happened, and I thought the college was nimble about it. That's just to mention that, you know, at the governor's level, that's a priority for them, and that, you know, probably hasn't hurt us any in our relationship with them.
Motion to adjourn.
So moved. I'm moved.
How long that audio?